Hey, Culture and Conversations family. I'm your host, Jamison Smallwood, and this is another episode of Small Talk, a bonus show on the Culture and Conversations podcast. Remember, Small Talk episodes are candid conversations or even behind-the-scenes conversations with my guests, and this one is no different. I have a chance to have a really hilarious conversation with Brandy Thomas. Brandy is a longtime guest of the Culture and Conversations podcast, and you guys remember her from her earlier episodes of Small Talk back in the early days of Culture and Conversations. So up next, we're going to chat a little bit about the changes to the podcast, how we've grown hashtag the group chat, the weekly live stream of the Culture and Conversations podcast, only available on Facebook.com. And I'm going to try to talk Brandy into watching Game of Thrones and other stuff that Brandy just needs in her pop culture bag. Up next on Small Talk, a bonus show on the Culture and Conversations podcast. Hey, Culture and Conversations family. I am recording some Small Talk with a legendary guest on the Culture and Conversations podcast. This guest single-handedly generated more content than any other guest I've ever had on the podcast. And it has grown into legend and lore in the Culture and Conversations vaults. So I'm welcoming back to the conversation my good friend Brandy. Brandy, how are you doing this wonderful day?
Listen, I am fantastic after that introduction. Thank you, Jameson.
Look, I try. I can't. You deserve no less than a great introduction. How about that? So,
finger snaps to that.
So we haven't had a chance to catch up in a minute, and I am following you on Instagram, and I saw that you have a line of merchandise that you have come up with, like T-shirts and mugs and stuff.
Yes. So this is really a way for me to fuel my obsession with my Cricut. A Cricut is a craft machine. You can cut all sorts of materials, vinyl, metal, wood, paper. It's just fantastic, and I'm obsessed with it. And I buy way more things for it than I should. And so it's like, I need to generate some money with this so I can, you know, feed my habit. So yes, I launched Sugar and Spice Wear and Flare. So I do wearables. I do stationery, drinkware, cruise t-shirts, birthday t-shirts, just all kinds of things. All the things.
So
that I can keep buying more vinyl for this Cricut.
Yes, it's all terrible. That's cool. that's really dope though. Like, because it's kind of funny how there was some synergy happening there, because, you know, I was busy launching the new merchandise store for Culture and Conversations, and then I look up and you are launching a merchandise store of your own designs and stuff. You know.
Yes, but your merch is fantastic. Like, I really appreciate this new logo. Like, it's very fancy.
Oh wow! Look at you. You know, saying all these pleasantries about these pleasantries. These pleasantries will not go unnoticed. They will not. I wasn't ready for all of that, you know. I think it had to happen. I mean, you know, I'm glad this conversation is kind of going this way, because I think it had to happen, right? The initial stuff that I put out for my graphics, which were my cover art, you know, these were just like really quick, bootstrapped graphics. It took me like 5 minutes to make those graphics. And, you know, and I was like, well, I want to do merchandise, because that's one of the streams of revenue a podcast can have to support itself when it's independent. And so that was my goal, was to create some merchandise, but I didn't have the graphics. So I outsourced that to a company in Alpharetta that, you know, that does graphic design work. I called them up. I said, hey, you know, I may not be the type of clients you typically deal with, because, you know, people could be used to corporate money and all that stuff. And I'm like, I ain't got that money. So, but what I do have is an idea.
How much for one rib?
Exactly. How much for one logo? How much for one rib? Yes. And, but luckily the person I spoke to, she was very receptive. She was like, yeah, we can do something very within your budget. And depending on how your process is and how many revisions we have to go through, then it can vary. But, You know, I knew we were going to spend more on the first one because the first one had to be the best in terms of it mm-hmm. setting the tone for the rest of them. And the logo we came up with is amazing. And what's really shocked me, Brandy, is just the response that people have had to it when they see it. They're like, man, that's a really good logo. And
it's legit.
Yeah. Look at that. It is. It feels good. So, and then all the variants that we've done, like like right now in the video that I'm recording here, people can see my group chat logo. The group chat is a weekly live stream I do on Facebook. So people can see the logo we have for that. And it's dope. It's just been, it's been surprisingly a good rebrand. Like, I think it was like the best money I've spent so far on the podcast.
Nice. But I think that is a lesson for lots of people because, you know, sometimes it's like we say we want to do these things or we want to start these things, but I just need this or I just need that. It's like, I just need the perfect logo or I just need the perfect cover art. But it's like, no, launch it. And then when you're able to, you know, step it up, do so. Mm-hmm. But don't let that be the thing to hold you back. Just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's true, right? Like, I think that's the mindset there. You exemplified it perfectly in your comments. I mean, it's just about starting. You know, if you're willing to start, then you can get into the routine of the stuff that really matters. Like, hey, I got to be able to book guests. I got to be able to record the audio. I got to be able to publish the audio. I got to be able to promote the show. And I got to be able to repeat that cycle on my schedule every week or every 2 weeks or whatever your release schedule is. And then I've got to create. So, and can I do that first? Because that's the core of what the podcast is. And then once I have shown competency and I have shown consistency at doing that, then to your point, yeah, just step it up and then you make the graphics the priority and you go and get those implemented and designed and fixed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's
kudos to you, Jameson. Kudos to you, sir.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, Brandy. You know, I take all the flattery I can get and when it's well deserved, it's even better. So, there's no amount of ego that's not present in any of those statements that I just made. So I didn't know you had this, well, you seem like a crafty kind of person. Like you seem like you could definitely have a craft side to you. So that's why I'm saying I'm kind of surprised. But then again, when I think about you and all I know about you, that I'm not really surprised.
It's very random. It's like, I just sort of fall into these random crafts. And so a few years ago, I was obsessing over like these burlap wreaths. And so for every occasion and every season, I felt like I needed to make a burlap wreath. And so then I was done with that. And so then I got into the whole, ooh, I want to try baking. So that was my thing for a while. And then I got this Cricut and it's like, oh, let me try this. And it's like, oh, I'm pretty decent at this. So let me practice this a little bit more because I do really enjoy it. So it's always a surprise to me, though, because I was not the kid who enjoyed like arts and craft time in like elementary school. I never finished an art project. Those were my lowest grades. You know, I just did not enjoy it. But then I became an adult and randomly I like crafts. So it's really crazy, but I enjoy it. And my family is taking full advantage of that. You know, I have made all kinds of labels and things for my mom's house. And so she appreciates that. I've done decals for my sister's car and my niece's car. So anything that I can stick some vinyl on, I'm here for it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I think that goes back to just being, you know, something we always talk about, at least in popular political banter about the arts in school and stuff like that. And I gotta be honest, I didn't really enjoy art class either because I feel like when you're told to create that you have to create something, that's no mm-hmm. fun, right? Like that's mm-hmm. that's laborious. There's no love in it. And creators and creatives, as they would say, those are people who tend to come from a place of really loving what they do, and that's how they mm-hmm. got into it. So I think the perfect balance for everybody who has a creative gene in them on some level is to just create spontaneously and on a whim. and, you know, trying to force that creative process, it can be a bit rough because you just get to the point where you're like, well, I don't feel like doing this because this is just me making this a job, you know? And, I think that's what I experienced in school. And it sounds like that's what you experienced when you were talking about you didn't really enjoy crafting anything, that, you know, in those art classes.
Yeah. I just did not get anything from it. And I don't know. And I think I've probably always been very type A. And so if I do it, I need it to be right. And I need it to be perfect. And so trying to create art under those sort of constraints that I put on myself, that makes it hard.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, you know, I broke out of that shell. It's like, okay, Brandy, it's perfect if I do it just as is. It doesn't have to look like anyone else's. No one else has to appreciate it. It's perfect just because I did it. And so I have to repeat that to myself.
Mm.
And it works.
I got you. You have to let yourself accept what you produce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can be very critical of my own work.
But that's
But it helped. It helped when, you know, I was a journalist in my previous life. Mm-hmm. And so those first few articles that were in the paper, like every time, and it was a daily newspaper, it was so ridiculous. Every time I had a story in the paper, I would read it in print and I was just like, oh my gosh, what are people going to say? Like, it would just stress me out. And it was so crazy. It's like, you have to get beyond this. Like, if this is going to be your career, you have to accept that you create this thing to put out into the world. And that's just the end. So it was a process. It was a process.
You know, that's deep. That feels like what I go through with my podcast. Like, I literally go back and listen to it almost instantly. When I record an episode, and I publish it, I'll go back and listen to it almost instantly to see how it lands, see how it feels, to see how it responds, how at least how I respond to it as a listener, you know, and I don't know if I'm being critical of it, but I'm definitely listening to see if it's good, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can relate to what you're talking about. I have to just kind of let it be out there and let it do its thing. Sometimes I know, like, okay, this is going to kill, you know? And then there's sometimes I record stuff and I'm like, no, this might not do it. And then all of a sudden that pops and people like that episode and you see it get downloaded a bunch. And then I start questioning, are people really listening to this? Or is this like bad statistics? And is this like, you know, it's just like some kind of like Google, you know, program downloading my podcast, making me think people are downloading it.
Are you buying listeners, Jameson? Be honest.
Am I buying?
Are you buying listeners? They're going to do another purge really see.
Yes. Buying listeners. What? Yes. Buying listeners and followers. Yes. I'm not quite there yet. But it feels like you just have all these questions about how people are actually interacting with the content and podcasting is a little bit weird because people still are kind of getting hip to it. And I don't know if people care enough about just the style of podcast that I do in terms of just the audio podcast, where it's more, you know, quiet, you know, mild mannered, you know, don't get me wrong. We can have fun and we're going to talk about some ratchet stuff, but you know, it's also a podcast like what we just got done talking about, where we're being really reflective and contemplative of life and how we create in that space. And so sometimes I wonder how people feel about it. And don't get me wrong, I know people listen to it because I see the statistics. People are downloading it. But at the same time, I don't really hear from those listeners directly that often. Like, I hear from some people who are really super fans. And I shouldn't say that, super listeners. I hate the word fan or saying I have fans. But super listeners who are really engaging with the show. Like I hear from you from time to time, or I hear from some other people. And they'll be like, hey, that was a great episode. I really enjoyed that. That was hilarious. You know, and I'm like, okay, well, people are listening. I know people are listening because I'm hearing from people. But then there are some people who are just consuming the content and they're listening to it, but they're just silent on it. They don't interact with the show directly that way, other than through their listening. So I guess, I don't know. I'm not critical of my podcast, but I am constantly trying to make it better. And, I guess there's a little bit of narcissism in me, or at least curiosity, where I want to know how people truly feel about it. And I don't get that validation as easily through the audio podcast as I do through like hashtag the group chat, which is that video stream I talk about on Facebook. So when because when I do that, you get the instant feedback of seeing people, you know, logging in, staying on the video, watching it. You see how many people are watching it, you know, concurrently. You see the comments. You see emojis when you say something that people react to and they're being responsive to. So it's a different validation that I get. And it's a different, completely different style of show too, because I'm taking phone calls and all that stuff, and I'm interacting with people directly. So you know, basically the way I can describe it is one is painting behind closed doors and then showing it to the world. And then one is like going down to, like, I don't know, the middle of Times Square and sitting there painting in front of everybody and seeing who's going to stop and watch you develop the masterpiece, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. But I think the fact that you do have a following on the group chat and it is so interactive, that tells you or shows you that, you know, for the strictly audio portion of it, that people are still following, because I don't think there is just a, I could be wrong, but I don't think it's just a completely unique audience for the group chat. I'm sure there are some crossover listeners, participants. So that should be encouraging, I would think. But at the same time, with this particular podcast, like you said, it is a little more thought provoking. The topics that you usually cover can be a little meatier. And so I don't think the people who are digesting that necessarily are the ones who would be super hype and super vocal, because it's a thought process involved in that. It's like, okay, let me take this in and digest it and think about it. And I liked it, so I'm going to come back for another serving. But I may not gush about it, but I'm coming back for another serving because I did appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I win.
No, that's perfect. I mean, I can take that, you know. And then I got to also remind myself, it's still me. You know what I'm saying? It's still, both of these are still me, you know, like I'm still making both of these things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So speaking of hashtag the group chat and how it's interactive and there's a following there. I have added a co-host. I don't know if you've been keeping up with that news on social media.
I noticed, and I don't know if I'm, you know, I might feel a little way about that. I might be a little in my bag, in my feelings.
Oh, you're whoa. Wait a minute. It sounds like you've got smoke for me, Brandon.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're saying that you should have been the co-host, the co-host. Okay. Okay.
If we want to, you know, travel down this yellow brick road, then let's do it, Jameson. Yes. I mean, I just feel like, you know, I thought we had this chemistry. I thought, you know, we had a good time on our random small talks, and you did just hype me up in this intro, and then the next thing I know, hashtag shout out to Ray.
Hashtag shout out to Ray. Hashtag is Ramon, yes. So the cool thing is there's always room for change and growth on the podcast. I will say this. Some of my friends said that, and I shouldn't say friends, but some of the people who listen to the show, even though these are friends who said this too, but, they said that they would have, wanted to see a female co-host and, I never thought about that, per se directly, you know. and in fairness, you know, and I'm not making excuses, but then again, I might be trying to make an excuse.
You might be.
I feel the fury of Brandy coming on. I think it's just logistics, right? Like, you know, the logistics of it make it a little difficult for the way we film the show. So I'm just saying, like, if you were around,
I'm just saying you are the tech guy. So if you can't make things pop, then I feel like no one can. So I'm not going to allow you to use that as an excuse, but I'm going to let you have it though.
But we can
just know that I see you. Okay.
Wait. Let's leave this in a good place. See, the problem is you have a bedtime, Brandy, and
I do.
See,
I can't even lie. Like right now, yeah, I tend to be in bed before 9 o'clock every day.
Yes. Yeah. And for the people who are listening to this, you can see Brandy, but we did a quick video chat and Brandy looks mighty comfortable. Brandy looks like she's about to she looks like she's going to do a hard wink, and they say, you know, she's just going to be gone. Like,
the shade of it all.
I'm not jealous because I'm trying to get there with you, like in that same condition. I'm trying to get there after this wonderful call concludes. But let me say seriously, if you ever want to contribute to the show, and that contribution becomes consistent and noteworthy, as I'm sure it will, then I'm sure there's an opportunity to add another personality to the group chat.
And I feel I just want to know, did Raymond have to do all these auditions? Did he?
Wait, wrong sound effect.
Yeah, no, that was right.
did he have to do all the auditions?
It's like, I'm sitting here like making the band. Listen, sir, I'm not going to sing and dance for you. Raymond didn't. He just, you know, this is feeling like hashtag sexism. I'm just saying.
Oh, wow. No. I think literally what happened with that was he was around the corner. And he lives around the corner. Well, his parents live around the corner. So he's only like 7 minutes from my house when he hangs out at his parents' house. So I think it just conveniently worked out to be, let him come through and co-host. And
So he hangs out at his parents' house every week?
I mean,
that is what I am to believe.
I'm just saying he hangs out there.
I'm just saying.
He hangs out there when we stream.
Listeners, let me know. Am I tripping? Because I don't think that I am.
Oh, wow. I did not expect this conversation to take this turn.
You know, always be prepared.
I was not ready for that. But I'm sorry. I'm definitely sorry. Now I feel some kind of way about having you and him hang around each other at the listener appreciation event.
It might be a showdown.
I might have to sit up. It's gonna be like a co-host duel where we got two microphones.
A fight to the finish. Okay, I'm gonna go find me some of this rogue new school baby fat.
Oh wow!
And I'm gonna show up and hey.
Wow. Okay. So I got to be honest. Brandy and the baby fat might be the game changer for the podcast. I'm just saying.
I need all the ratings. You know what? I will pander to the crowd. Okay, I'll do that.
Talk about pandering to the crowd.
I'm not above it.
Pandering to the host. That's what we're doing there. We're like, okay, Brandy, you win. And then from that point on, you show up in nothing but like a burlap sack or a burka. I'd be like, wait a minute.
That's right.
I fired Ramon over there. It's like, what happened, Brandy? It's like, I'm more than my body, Jameson. I'm a mind.
Exactly.
I am woman. Hear me roar. I'm like, okay.
Listen, it's my choice. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Some days I'm giving you baby fat. Some days I'm giving you burka.
Some days I'm giving you baby fat. Some days I'm giving you burka. You know, I think that will be the title for this first episode of Small Talk we're recording. Some days I give you baby fat. Some days I give you burka. Yes, make a note of that one, Smallwood. Yes. But your bedtime was a consideration with that. Like, it's the dynamic there is that the show is late, so the Sunday night show is not that late because that's at 7 o'clock. But the weeknight show is like at 9:30, and it goes from like 9:30 until around 12 or so.
Yeah, no, it's a no for me, boss.
Yeah. See, here we go.
Listen, but either way, you counted me out before you counted me in.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
That sounds like a Drake bar there. Like, you counted me out before you counted me in. Wow.
I wasn't hiding my son from the world.
That's it, Brandy. I wasn't hiding my podcast from you. I was hiding you from my podcast. That's what we were doing. Oh, man.
You didn't ask me. You know, I might be able to get in a quick power nap because I feel like y'all hit a power nap or two before that late night podcast, but it's okay.
See, you have definitely been watching because we do talk about the naps and how the naps help.
It's okay. hey, you know what? I'm going to allow you to walk up out this corner that you have painted yourself into.
I am painted into a corner. I never expected that kind of smoke on this call. You know, but it definitely was not a judgment of your fitness to be the co-host. It was purely a logistical thing for me.
Okay. And so I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's purely logistics. Like, now, to your point, maybe what I need to do is find a way to get some type of video equipment set up so that we can have you be a part of, you know, be like a remote contributor to the podcast and talk about some things. And with your journalism background, I mean, there's going to be a considerable advantage there that you would bring to the show. Man.
Don't try to hype me up now.
It's just honest truth. I mean, to your point, there was some chemistry. You know, there's always chemistry when we record together. So it's not it doesn't go unnoticed. So yeah, mm-hmm. And that's all I can say about that. shout out to the co-host, man. See, the co-host, man. If you only know what kind of smoke I'm taking to protect this partnership, this fledgling partnership. Oh man. But yeah, the video stream stuff is interesting. Let me say this. I still can always have a co-host for the audio stuff, because I don't have a co-host for the audio stuff. I typically record you know, interviews and whatnot, and then we kind of go from there. So
I think for the podcast, if you had a co-host, I feel like that might lose some of the intimacy of the conversation.
Okay. So, I'm trying to be serious with how you said that. Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah, I'm just saying, focusing. I see what you're saying there, because the one-on-one conversation there is what makes it the format what it is in terms of what my show does.
Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it feels like an interview, and that's not necessarily what you want.
No, I really want a conversation, and I feel like that's the heart of what I'm trying to always do, is just have a conversation with people. So, you know, I never thought about that. But then maybe there's like maybe there's always room for like some of the other stuff, like, you know, reaction and talking about some things. But that's kind of what the group chat sort of does. So, you know, but the group chat doesn't really cover, like, you know, current events explicitly. We do cover some current events, but it's a mix of current event talk and also conversations that we spark up in the community on Facebook so that we can get the interaction and, you know, and get people tuning in to give their opinion and to see what the opinions are of other people.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. I like your format. I wouldn't want to change that to try to, you know, fit this or fit that or add this person or add that person. I think your format is good. I think it works.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe me and Ray will just arm wrestle to see who's going to be the actual
co-host.
You know. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What is it? Is it Dracarys? Is that what I'm supposed to say?
Okay. No, you are not going to break out your faux pop culture knowledge
But it fit, though, Jameson.
It would have if you actually knew what you were talking about and had experienced the show. You kind of were close. You talking about is it Dracarys? No, that's not how that works. It's supposed to be just Dracarys.
Dracarys.
There we go. People, the jilted co-host. She has never seen Game of Thrones, and for people who are keeping track, last time she was on the show, we talked extensively about things that she had not seen that she should have seen, like Black Panther. She never saw that movie, and
I've seen it now.
Wait! You saw Black Panther?
Yes, twice.
Twice. Oh, clap it up. Clap it up. Okay. Yes. So we can take that one off the list, but there's still some other movies of notable success in the box office that she's never seen.
Yeah.
So Game of Thrones, I got to be honest, Game of Thrones was the last episode of Game of Thrones was so disappointing. It was like, it was just so bad. And so I've never seen a show kill itself off with its own audience in such a miserable way towards the last season. It was really bad. Like, you know, it was a mess. It was a mess.
Well, I've heard that. But now I'm kind of confused. It's like they knew that they only were allotted so many episodes, and so it was just poor pacing of, I guess, the plot, or am I off base?
Well, part of what it was that, part of what it was that, you know, the source material is the books. The source material is the books. And the author basically got paid a pile of money from HBO because of them buying rights to his story. And he just decided he was never going to finish the last book. And, you know, so you think about it, basically when they bought the series, you know, he finished the second book or whatever it is in the series during the actual TV run. And then they took a really long break. They gave him like 2 years to finish up the last book, and he just wouldn't finish it, you know.
What?
Yeah, he wouldn't finish it, you know. He was just being, I mean, he was being such a diva about his story. And he basically gave them an outline. He didn't give them the actual finished book. He gave them an outline of what was gonna happen in the books when on the day that he finished it, you know. It was so they're sitting there like, well, we can't really finish the story without the, mm-hmm. without the books, you know. We can't finish the show without the books. So he's like, well, here's this janky outline, and they were like, well, if this is the outline, then we're gonna just basically go through bullet point it. And that's how we're going to do it. So there was no kind of interaction between the characters that these really seminal moments that we have been waiting on in the series. There was no interaction or resolution to these conflicts that was really satisfactory. You know, even with how we get to the point where Daenerys gets killed in the last episode, it just makes no sense. It makes no sense at all, because, you know, Jon Snow, you know, he does it, but then what happens in the story is that he doesn't want to be king. So a lot of these problems that we see with the whole,
and she was queen.
She was queen because she had burned everybody up.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah. So a lot of these problems we see when we get to the last story, the last episodes, is because it really comes back to the fact that Jon didn't want to be king. And they spent all this time, they spent the entire series positioning Jon to be king of the Seven Kingdoms. And then his character, because of some fake sense of honor and nobility, he doesn't want to be king. And it's just like, it's almost like a classic narrative, right? Of, you know, when you have a good person who doesn't want the position, then it leaves room for crazy people to get it. And that's what happened with Daenerys, mm-hmm. you know? So, but anyway, I didn't mean to go into a deep dive on Game of Thrones because the last season was trash. And, but to your point of trying to say Dracarys there, in this death match between you and the new co-host of hashtag the group chat. Yeah, it would have been a fitting way to spike the ball there, but you kind of missed it, you know?
Well, I was trying, but the context clues on that one just wasn't really coming to me. Like, I knew that saying the word means, you know, I'm burning shit up.
Yes,
but
yes, yes.
What I did not know is I've only seen it in print. I've never heard anyone say it.
Mm.
So yeah. I was hesitant, not in the meaning, but in the pronunciation.
Yes.
So I couldn't really say it with conviction.
Dracarys, that's it. That's it. That's it. But I mean, I think this is what I'm going to say to you, Brandy. I think this is what I'm going to say to you. I think you owe yourself watching Game of Thrones. I think with you being someone who drinks absinthe and someone who appreciates great storytelling, then the first six seasons of that show are the best six seasons of any show ever on TV.
There are six seasons?
There's eight seasons.
Well, seven?
There's eight seasons.
Oh, eight?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, but
that's just weird. Okay, I'll try it. You know what? I'm not going to count it out. I will give it a try.
I mean, there's just so many great moments that you deserve to experience. And, you know, now that the show's over and people aren't talking about it, you don't have to worry about spoilers and you can kind of just pace yourself and watch it at your own leisure. Now, you know how the ending kind of unfolds because that's been the big talk on social media. But put it this way, the ending will not make you like the show. Having the ending spoil for you will not change mm-hmm. your appreciation for the first six seasons of that show. Because in fact, the first six seasons of that show is what made us hate the ending so much because of how great those first six seasons were.
Okay. Part of the reason I have not watched it, I've heard there's a lot of, you know, gratuitous violence. You know, some random. I'm not thinking about something else with random sex scenes.
Yeah, I don't know. That's very appropriate.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I don't really, you know, those aren't really things I'm looking for in TV. And I sound like a super old lady prude, but
no, it's okay. What you need to do?
It's not really my steez.
What you need to do is put on the baby fat, and then it all will make sense.
Yes. It'll make sense then.
It'll all make sense. You'll be popping and rolling your neck and snapping your fingers at all the fun stuff that is in the show. There are times where when you watch it, it can be a bit much. And this is going to sound so bad what I'm about to say, but by the time you get into the first probably season and a half, you're somewhat desensitized to it because you understand that's just what this show shows you and presents to you. But once again, I got to be honest, the sex and the violence, well, the sex more so. The sex isn't essential to the story. The sex is just makes it, you know, adult entertainment mm-hmm. candy, right? Like it just gives the adults who watch it something to ooh and ah about a little bit. But the actual violence, it is kind of a part of the tapestry of the world that you're in, because one of the things about Game of Thrones, and you'll see this if you start watching it, is that life is very brittle and fragile in that world and cheap. So, you mm-hmm. know, you know, characters that you fall in love with, they die. And I'm not talking about, they don't just die kind of like in noble ways either. They die. Like they get murdered, they get killed. You know, bad things mm-hmm. happen. So that's why I think part of the violence part adds to the story. Even though I think you could probably have a fairly compelling show without so much violence. But it does add to the tapestry of the show because you see just how on the edge life and death really are with each other in that world. And it's telling, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm going to think about it. You know, I was convinced that I was not going to watch Black Panther just because. Mm-hmm. But then I did, and I enjoyed it, and I watched it again.
See?
So, yeah, I may give this a try.
Thank you guys for listening to another episode of Culture and Conversations Small Talk. You guys can stay in touch with the show, Culture and Conversations, on Facebook, Culture and Conversations, on Instagram, Culture and Conversations Podcast on Facebook as well. There's a Facebook group. And then there is culture and conversations@gmail.com. Until next time, guys, be blessed.